Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. What a day. Charlie Pierce, also Rolanda Watts on the big show. I ran into her at the CNN yesterday. She will come on to talk about the Zimmerman trial, and she remains delightful.
I think we used to work with her at the old station, didn't we?
Indeed, we did.
Yes.
She is hilarious and delightful. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Yeah, Jim and I were saying everything old is new again. We're digging up Jimmy Hoffa again.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody went up for a long lunch and never came back.
Went out for lunch 38 years ago. Some people like a long lunch.
Sure.
And I know Mama does.
I'm thinking it was a tiramisu that got him.
Yeah. Check under the bag of glass. Or maybe under the bag of vipers.
Waiter, there's a bag of glass in my tiramisu.
There might have accidentally been a bag of glass in his tiramisu. All right, everybody back to their 80s comedy routine. Jimmy Hoffa jokes. Let's dig them back up. Dig up those jokes. Lindbergh, baby. Here we go.
Generalissimo and Francisco Franco. Still dead.
Right. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks so much. Oh, in other mobster news, no, you know, not to cast any aspersions. What? This?
Or asparagus.
Right. Don't cast aspersions on my asparagus. The, you know, the Whitey Bulger trial?
Yes.
Bulger.
Mm.
I didn't know what that was. I thought it was
it's a kind of wheat.
Right. I thought I thought it was a, you know, white supremacist erection. I did not know. However, it is not. Whitey Bulger is a mobster. It was on the lam, as they say in mobster land for a long time. And then, yes. Right.
And he was on the lam in Santa Monica.
Right.
They found him in Santa Monica.
Right. I apologize, Boston. I did not know he was here. Okay, because I was
drunk.
Right. Otherwise, I would have, I'm sure, have noticed him. I just love this. Ex-hitman testified yesterday. I was heartbroken that Bulger was an informant. So it wasn't so much the him killing people.
Indiscriminately.
Right.
Yeah.
He betrayed him, that bastard.
He's not even a real bad guy.
I'm disappointed.
Disappointed!
An ex-gangster who admitted killing 20 people. Right. Very disappointed in you, Whitey. An ex-gangster who admitted killing 20 people was unemotional Monday when describing his line of work at the trial of his former partner, James Whitey Bulger, but called himself heartbroken when he learned that Bulger had become an FBI informant. Bastard person. Now he's a bad guy. John Martorano.
You think you know a guy.
Right, John Martorano gave short answers, spoke nonchalantly. Yeah, killed a few guys.
Yeah, a couple of guys.
You know, accidents happen.
Only guys who had it coming.
Accidents happen, you know, bones break.
Sure.
Sometimes guys have an accident fall off the top of the Hancock Tower.
Building.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever.
Okay. John Martorano.
The Sears Tower. You can
right.
Relating the
sure.
Sears Tower.
I don't know.
Hancock building.
When questioned by the prosecutor about a string of murders he committed while he, Bulger, and Stephen, the Rifleman Flamini, he's one of my favorites.
Really?
Oh, he's good.
He's good, the Rifleman.
Why do they have to have these nicknames?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like a requirement.
Like Chuck Nicoletti.
Flemmy.
And Jimmy Sutton.
Mm. Flamini, sorry. That's small phlegm. Flamini.
Yes.
Yeah. We're members of the Winter Hill Gang.
I think that's kind of pasta, actually.
Goes
a
with
little,
white bulgur wheat.
Smaller than Fusilli.
Sure.
It's made of bulgur wheat.
Yeah.
See, you'd have a nickname, too, if your last name was based on phlegm.
Yeah.
The only flash of sentiment came early in his testimony when he was asked to describe his relationship with Bulger and Flamini. Flemmy. Flemmy. No, it's actually Flemmy. I apologize.
Hmm.
They were my partners in crime. They were my best friends. They were my children's godfathers.
You really can't get more stereotypical than this story,
wow.
Can you?
Right. This is very touching. He said he named his youngest son, James Stephen, after Bulger and Flemmy.
One day I might ask you for a favor.
Right. Martorano said he was stunned. Stunned. Stunned.
Shocked.
To find out that this guy
and stunned.
Could be a bastard. Years later that Bulger and Flemmy had been providing information to the FBI at the same time they were committing crimes for the gang. Is there no honor among thieves anymore? Is there no decency at long last? After I heard they were informants, it sort of broke my heart, he said. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So that happened.
Mm, great.
Oh, hey, speaking of a life of crime, have you been seeing the Pootie Poot and the President? A little awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Body language.
Awkward photo ops.
Body language says
yikes.
A lot.
Ooh. Let's not let Syria come between us. Anyway, I'm wondering if the President, when he shook his hand, if he was looking for that Super Bowl ring. Did you?
Yeah.
Have you heard this story?
This is ridiculous.
Putin, I did not steal the Super Bowl ring. I love this story. Russia's president is fighting
about the Super Bowl ring. It's a very big ring.
There's, yes, He is fighting back. He did not steal a Super Bowl ring. President Vladimir Putin's spokesman denied that the leader kept a Super Bowl ring that New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft wanted back. Both sides agree that the ring, with its 124 diamonds, changed hands during Kraft's visit to St. Petersburg, Russia, in 2005.
I'm thinking Yeltsin ate it.
No, there is no evidence that Yeltsin ate it.
No.
I took out the ring and showed it to Putin, and he put it on, and he goes, "I can kill someone with this ring," Kraft said. Yet. I put my hand out, and he put it in his pocket, and three KGB guys got around him and walked out. He's the Sharon Stone of jewelry, of Super Bowl jewelry. I wear it, I keep it.
And then he sat down, crossed his legs.
Uncrossed them, seductively.
Yes.
As he's known to do in his many unclothed photos.
Do you mind if I smoke in here?
In the quotes used by the Post, Kraft did not specifically say that Putin stole the ring. Yeah, the KGB, you might want to recharacterize that. The paper characterized his remarks in a way that the headline, that way in the headline in the story. Kraft did say, however, that he had wanted the ring back. I had an emotional tie to the ring. It has my name on it. The Patriots owner said he then received a call from the White House at the time telling him it wouldn't be the best interest of U.S.-Russian relations to claim it was a gift to Putin.
But it wasn't a gift.
A few days after the 2005 incident, amid confusion as to whether the ring was a present or was kept by mistake, Kraft issued a statement saying it was a gift. He changed his mind.
It would be better for you if you said it was a gift.
That's the way Putin sees it. What Mr. Kraft is saying now is weird, said his spokesperson. I was standing 20 centimeters away from him, and Putin and saw and heard how Mr. Kraft gave this ring as a gift. The ring is in the Kremlin's library where all official state gifts are kept. And so unless he hires O.J. Simpson to go steal it back, that's where it will remain.
Even O.J. Simpson didn't have a good track record of stealing things back, though.
No, not really. All right.
How do you break something out of the Kremlin?
Ring don't fit, then you must quit.
Exactly.
He liked it, so he put a ring on it.
That's good, Jim. Exactly. All the single ladies. All the single ladies. All right, then. Charlie Pierce, I have to say, I always think, am I thinking this? And then Charlie Pierce writes it, and I'm yes.
Computer says, yeah.
Yes, I think it there, and he writes it there. We will talk to him in about an hour, but he was saying about Edward Snowden. Wow, drama queen much?
A little bit.
Oh, dear God. U.S. is not going to be able to cover this up by jailing or murdering me.
But he said, America's done it before, so they'll do it to me.
Charlie says, I think he's thinking he didn't go to Iceland because we would have been more likely to drone him there.
Yeah, because we have drones circling over Iceland.
I don't really.
That seems kind of illegal if we were just to start bombing sovereign country to get one guy.
Right. He said, all I can say right now is the U.S. government is not going to be able to cover this up by jailing or murdering me. Truth is coming and it cannot be stopped.
What is there to bomb in Iceland? A geyser?
A lot of ice. I don't know. The good news is Rocky Mountain Mike has finally put this to song, the whole NSA thing.
The government snooping, you see, on my grandfather and me. Around the internet, now we do roam, surfing all night. Got on our Wi-Fi. Well, I feel that they might just send me a drone. So dump all your old emails, see if surveillance quits, call for the whistleblower to make it on home. Let him go home. Why don't you leave him alone? Oh, yeah. Well, I feel that they might just send him a drone.
Aw.
Aw, Rocky Mountain Mike, that is precious, and it's gotten 5 zillion hits already. All right. So lots to get to about all of this stuff. Syria, NSA stuff. And we have, as I said, Charlie Pierce and Rolanda Watts coming up 16 minutes after the hour. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 21 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite.
I guess on current TV, you were caught rifling through your purse, and so now the chat room is playing, let's guess what's in Mama's purse.
Oh, is it like, let's make a deal?
Yes.
Well, sure, let's guess.
The USS Forrestal.
Someone said a 20-year-old Werther's has got
right.
to be in there.
Oh, yes, with a dog hair on it.
Yeah.
And a single penny.
Yeah, a shiny penny.
A paramecium.
There is not a paramecium in my purse.
Oh, as far as you know.
As far as you know. They're microscopic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Harry in Virginia on the whole NSA thing. Hi, Harry.
Hi.
Hello.
I wanted to stick up for my buddy Alan Grayson a little bit on his petition, which I signed.
Yep.
And, you know, you keep saying that, you know, he's advocating 100% privacy, and he's not doing that. I mean, there's no such thing as 100% privacy anyway. We never had
right.
that to begin with.
Yeah.
But what he's saying is that, you know, data collection can be done within the confines of the Constitution. You know, it's this kind of a thing where we, if what Snowden is saying is true,
right,
we have
Harry,
this massive amount of information
right.
constantly coming at us.
Right, but Harry,
can't
if you read
find
the,
patterns in that anyway.
Right, but if you read the petition, I mean, it says stop monitoring all of our calls and internet and all of that. And I'm just saying, I don't, you know. My point is, you know, I love Alan Grayson, and believe me,
yeah.
you know, his Medicare for All bill. How much do I wish that could happen? You know, but there is a world we live in that are political realities. We couldn't even get a public option, right? I mean, is Medicare for All the answer? Yes, but it's not going to happen. And I'm just saying, you know, unfortunately, this is not going to happen either. We're not going to go.
Apparently, the Constitution consists of only the Second Amendment now.
Yeah,
the NSA thing has gotten so far out of control. I mean, we have this apparatus that nobody knows what's going on. We've got billions of dollars. We don't even know we can't even know who's spending what because we're not allowed to know that. So, I mean, I think we need to at least have some kind of action, even if it's a little bit pie in the sky. At least.
Mm-hmm.
Make some movement towards
scaling
this back.
Harry, listen, this is why I revered the Alan Graysons of the world, because we need them. He's a progressive warrior. And I'm just saying this particular petition obviously is not going to go anywhere when you have, you know, Dianne Feinstein and Al Franken and, you know, name. I mean, you have to admit that this really has created a lot of strange bedfellows. I was reading yesterday when you're saying, you know, when you have, you know, Franken and whoever, I don't know, with, you know, Cheney going up against, you know, Glenn Beck and, you know, Michael Moore.
It's oh,
like,
yeah, when Glenn
who's
Beck
on
and
what
Michael
side
Moore
of
get together, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's just a weird.
Yeah. A wormhole has opened in the universe. Exactly. I don't know what's happened. All right.
I think we can all get along.
Can we?
I think so.
All right, Rodney. Yes, Edward Snowden said the truth about the government's spying program will be revealed eventually, regardless of what happens to him. Again, as Charlie Pierce points out, a little drama queenie.
Mm-hmm.
He said his controversial leaks did not reveal any U.S. operations against legitimate military targets. Again, I don't know whose word to take for what here. I mean, I guess he's taken it upon himself to decide all this. He said, I carefully evaluated every single document I disclosed to ensure that each was legitimately in the public interest. Again, is that up to him?
I don't think that's up to him.
He scoffed at speculation that he would provide classified information to the Chinese or other governments in exchange for asylum. Okay. Although he's over there and he's kind of chatty and he's asking for, you know,
right.
not to be extradited. And he said, ask yourself, if I were a Chinese spy, why wouldn't I have flown directly into Beijing? I could be living in a palace petting a phoenix by now.
What?
Okay. Phoenixes don't exist.
Oh, dear. He's very dramatic. He said
an hour later, be hungry for another phoenix.
Yay!
Oh, come on now. He said journalists should ask a specific question. How many terrorist attacks were prevented solely by information derived from the suspicionless surveillance that could not be gained via any other source? Then ask how many individual communications were ingested to achieve that and ask yourself if it was worth it. Bathtub falls and police officers kill more Americans than terrorism. Yet we've been asked to sacrifice our most sacred rights for fear of falling victim to it. I'm not saying he doesn't maybe have some points, but again,
but
it's hard to.
You know what? He's
making himself, I guess, the sole arbiter of what's worth it and how.
But it's like the gun versus baseball bat argument. Terrorism is solely meant to kill people. Bathtubs have another use.
Right. If well,
you know,
let's hope
it's
so.
Just.
But no, I mean, just saying that terrorism. The point is that terrorism isn't as ubiquitous, at least in this country.
Yeah.
As people are pretending it is.
Yeah. Well, it's just that we had the, you know, the one bad.
Except that one time.
That one time. Under Bush's watch.
That does. Oh, my God. If I can't listen to any of the Dick Cheney sound bites because my head's going to explode. I just feel this president lacks credibility.
Yeah, lacks credibility.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a sort of guy who would let an attack happen on our country. That argument.
Oh, my God. Everything he says, he's just like, no! Oh, no! He said this gives President Obama an opportunity to appeal for a return to sanity, constitutional policy, and a rule of law that, rather than a man. He still has plenty of time to go down in history as the president who looked into the abyss and stepped back rather than leaping forward into it. He's just a little grandiose about his role. In
it's a little highly of himself.
He's going to save the president from himself.
Daniel Ellsberg supports him, so.
All right. Well, it's all over with. All right. The president in the PBS interview.
Some people say, well, you know, Obama was this raving liberal before. Now he's, Dick Cheney. My concern has always been not that we shouldn't do intelligence gathering to prevent terrorism, but rather, are we setting up a systems of checks and balances?
Yes, as Jim has pointed out, he actually was never a raving liberal. That's where I think people...
Or a socialist or a communist.
Yes, or any of those things.
And certainly not a Nazi, because they weren't terribly fond of black people.
No. As we were saying, Hitler, the Hitler mustache they kept putting on the Obama posters, Hitler spinning furiously.
Right, yes, yes.
Okay, the president.
We don't have to sacrifice our freedom in order to achieve security. That's a false choice. That doesn't mean that there are not trade-offs involved in any given program, any given action that we take.
I, at the risk of being called an Obama apologist, but, it's...
like that stopped you before.
What time is it?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, if you would imagine for a moment being him, being leader of the free world and having to look at the stuff you're looking at and make a decision about this kind of stuff. And
some horrifying stuff that we are not privy to.
That was different than when he was a senator. Anyway, well, all right, more on this. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All right, but try to keep your mouth shut, okay? You have a habit of saying the wrong thing.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number.
Chris in Boca Raton writes, yesterday, just as I was in the middle of my warrior yoga pose, Jim went into the Tom Brokaw Father's Day memories, and I tried to hold the pose as long as I could, and now I think I might have pulled my groin.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Yeah.
Easy to do.
Yes. Warrior pose. And then he says, thanks for the quality entertainment.
Ow! Ow!
Thanks for the...
Ow!
Okay. He needs a nut wax or something. Is there another product we sell?
Oh.
Graham in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Graham.
Yeah, hey. This is just a point kind of consistent with you keep saying, apologizing for being an old apologist. But, he's really damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. They have it set up so that the NSA spying program is a permanent fixture. If he keeps it, they scream and cry, the Republicans scream and cry and stamp their feet about him keeping it. And if he was to take it out, and something happened, then he'd be impeached immediately and probably removed from office.
Yeah, well, and I love Dick Cheney twisting himself in a pretzel, saying, the program is the right thing, but the president has no credibility. It's like, wait a minute, he's doing it except with more oversight and more checks and balances and more transparency.
Well,
and
I did it. I did this with my hands.
Right. And a FISA court, right, which is the difference.
He's a monster.
All right. Thank you, honey.
Is he calling through a soup can?
I know. From underwater? I was confused.
That's actually how you sound when you're on your Bluetooth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. the president said it is transparent. That's why we set up the FISA court. And again, people make good points that is the FISA court too much of a rubber stamp. But the point is, George Bush didn't bother with that. That was what it was, the whole argument was about. It was warrantless wiretapping. So Dick Cheney just needs to... Oh, here he is
Shut
again.
His pie hole.
Oh, here he is again. Dick Cheney yesterday.
What this program allows us to do, and the reason it was set up and the way it's been operated, was when we went to Karachi and captured Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, we could get his Rolodex and see who he was talking to inside the United States.
He has a Rolodex sitting on his desk? Really?
What the 1950s called. Wow.
Want the Rolodex back.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in Mad Men.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
It's right next to his binders full of women. All right. Michael Hayden, former NSA and CIA director.
Snowden's wrong. He could not possibly have done the things he claimed he was able to do in terms of tapping communications.
Yeah, so you say.
Snowden, Hayden, Snowden.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I don't trust
Hayden. Yeah, I don't trust Hayden. Room.
I don't trust either of them.
No.
I don't know who, that's what I mean. Snowden. I don't know who to believe.
More than make him Snowden or...
No, but I'm saying that was one of the things he said that sounded a little grandiose. So I could do this to the president if I wanted to. I could do this to blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay.
I'm sure it can be done. I don't know if it could be done by Snowden.
Right.
I think that's
right.
Where my brain goes.
Snowden.
Snowden.
Yeah. Or Hoden, which means testicle in German. But,
right. You know. Thanks for that, Jim. All right.
Put both of them together, you got a pretty big testicle.
Okay. Lon Snowden... Who is
Daddy Dearest?
Enters the scene.
Yeah.
He's Ed Snowden's father.
I believe firmly that you are a man of principle. I believe in your character. I don't know what you've seen, but I just ask that you measure what you're going to do and not release any more information.
Ah.
I think he's going to listen to Dad.
Wow. That sounded like one of those threats. Don't do that. If you do that again. All right.
That's it.
Okay. Now.
No. Now I'm serious.
All right. You know what? No more now.
No more warnings.
If you throw one more. Okay. That's the last one. Now.
That's it. Now you've crossed the line. Maybe that's why Ed Snowden is the way he is. Because
right,
Lon
father...
Snowden is like that.
He doesn't want to end up like Snowden in
exactly.
Too.
He's one of those parents that kids easily
call uh-huh.
Full on.
Right.
Oh, Dad, full. Really? It's not the last time. See? I threw one more thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take away your Xbox.
Schlunk. Yep. Okay.
That's the last time.
You know, maybe some parents can tell us how you issue better credible threats, because that guy clearly. All right, Ed, no more secret. Not one more.
Okay,
you know
okay.
What?
I'll give you that one.
But all right.
Next time.
I'm drawing a line. Oh, there's going to be a timeout here. There, you know what? You go to Iceland and stand in the corner.
Go stand in a volcano in Iceland.
Yeah. Go stand
all
next
right.
to Bjork's house.
Jim in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Hey, to me, the takeaway for me here, the thing that kind of gets to me is that we're privatizing our surveillance. We're
yeah.
privatizing that. Like a guy like this, I don't mind as long as Obama doesn't step outside of, you know, these checks and balances that he's talking about. And I don't hear anybody stepping forward saying that he has. The issue
right.
here is that we allow headhunting companies to recruit away top talent with these security clearances, and then we pay them more to do it. I think that that's freaking stupid.
Yeah. 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 No,
that's all.
No, exactly. I think, didn't Dick Cheney have thoughts on that, too, on the privatizing? Isn't this horrible? It's horrible. Who thought of that? Privatizing things.
Pretty soon we'll have private security companies doing all sorts of things.
To all kinds of top secret access.
Unaccountable to anyone.
That's the only thing I think of every time he speaks is, wow, he sounds even creepier than he used to. That's
mm-hmm.
really, yikes. Mm.
If I only had a heart, and I don't.
He's scary. All right.
Oil can.
Excuse me?
Oil can make me very rich, and it has.
See, he's the Tin Man.
You say that because he didn't have a heart.
Because of Halliburton, he's oil can. Because he's an oil guy. All right. All right. So the bad news is, and we've been saying this, that the problem is because of media.
Media?
Huh?
Of which we are a part?
Right. Me more than anybody, because I'm a media whore.
Well.
But this is the problem. It's just they're not liberal. They just want a story. And, Republicans say scandal enough, they keep repeating it. And so, you know, the president's poll numbers, not surprisingly, have taken a hit in the wake of, you know, Benghazi and IRS and President Obama's poll numbers have plunged over the last month as the White House faced a backlash over several controversies.
You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. This is what Republicans do. They just throw enough stuff at the wall and, you know, hope that something sticks.
Unfortunately, yes. It's sticking.
Well, some of it. Americans were split on the controversial NSA program that tracks phone logs, although they supported the agency's targeting of internet traffic linked to foreign terrorism suspects overseas. And the biggest concern, you know, and this plays into a conspiracy theory someone had. The pollster said the biggest concern for Obama and the Democrats should be the news that he has quickly lost a chunk of two pillars of his traditional support, his base, those under age 30 and independents. And somebody was saying that, Booz Allen is the major stockholder is Carlyle Group. Because somebody was saying, like, this is, it just, well, Jim has said from the beginning, too, something just smells off about this whole thing. That he must have been planning. He was talking to Greenwald apparently before he started work at this place. I don't really even get the whole thing, but it does seem like it is doing what it was designed to do and drive a wedge between liberals again, between Democrats.
And I heard that Booz Allen is not doing well financially after this whole thing.
Really? Oh dear.
They hitting the sauce over Booz Allen?
Yeah, Americans don't go for Booz Allen and dopes.
That actually kind of worked.
That little bit.
Yeah.
A little doughy.
I was a little bit impressed by that.
Okay.
Well,
all
right. Obama's lost a lot of support in Germany now because of all this stuff. So that they had a protest and someone put a sign up. The picture of Martin Luther King, I have a dream, and then a picture of Obama, I have a drone.
Oh, so, I get it. Clever. Okay. Scandalmania appears to be what has torpedoed Obama's approval rating. Not all of the Republican criticism of Obama and his administration is valid, of course, but now that the attacks are getting traction, that is not what really counts, according to the pollster. When there are cumulative news events that raise questions about trust, it hardly matters that Benghazi terrorist attack onslaught has been proven incorrect on the facts or that the White House had nothing to do with the IRS snooping on conservative groups. Obama's brand has been damaged by a contagion of news stories, not all fair, but still having a cumulative effect, depicting a president who seems unrecognizable to many Americans compared to the person who came into office in 2008. And again, almost entirely fictional, based on Lindsey Graham's vapors and Daryl Issa's.
But it's got traction.
I don't know what Daryl Issa's. For the moment, I guess. Jay Allison in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jay Allison.
Hey, I'm listening to you talking about the way they, you know, the Republicans have, you know, affected the poll numbers of the president, which is because our politician, Democratic politician, who's out there in the media, doesn't do enough to show the same type of poll, shock and awe that the Republicans puts on in the media, you know, like Dick Cheney, all they're always on the media, meet the press, you know, everybody talking and putting out that crap that they're talking against the president.
Well, you know,
our politicians need to stick up for our president. They need to shout out when the Republicans get caught in their muck and mire.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jalison, Eric Bowler, when he's here at Media Matters, they do analysis. And that's the other thing is they all of those shows do skew Republican. They have a lot more Republican guests, you know.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. It's just this, that, and it drives the narrative. And then it becomes, oh, let's go talk about this latest scandal. And it's, all right. We'll tell you the latest on the IRS scandal when we come back. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, 49 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
1-800. Can't get enough of those disco strings.
How about that new bump song I sent you? Good, right? Can I get a whoop whoop? Can I get a what? It's good. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
They try and kill you with that at spinning, don't
right,
they?
Right, right. Awesome.
And that's just one of the things they try and kill you with.
That's awesome. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number.
Woot-woot is just weakness leaving the body.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly. Woot-woot is happening right before you, you know. Right, die. Austin in Palm Beach, Florida. Hello, Austin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Your last caller hit the nail right on the head. The Democratic Party is not fighting back hard enough, and next year being another off-year election, it's dangerous. We don't get off the ball, we're going to lose here.
Yeah, I mean, Austin, it's good to pay attention to the polling because, you know, again, you can't have this nonstop cacophony of, like, scandal. And why is John McCain and Lindsey Graham on every show every weekend?
Ever.
Right.
No, another thing, here in Palm Beach County, we Randy Rhoads is on 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and that's the only progressive talk we have in the whole county.
Yep, I know.
This is not right.
Yep.
And when you boil it right down, you know, a lot of words could be said, but it boils down to this. The sooner the Republican Party goes out of existence, the sooner this country will be great again.
Yeah, well,
I don't know that that's
be nice
happen.
To have a two-party system back at some point.
It'd be nice to have a multi-party system.
Oh, whatever.
Like they do in...
Yeah. So that all points of view can
Palm Beach, only place to know what time it is. 51 after. Brett in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Brett.
Hello, how are you today?
Hello, go ahead.
Not so much on your show, but I've heard a lot of talk recently about... these private contractors working for the government and how dangerous that is.
Yes, we've been talking about that, too.
I think we need to strike the right balance, but, you know, a lot of callers that I've heard on different shows have suggested that private contractors aren't capable of doing this, but government employees are. And I'd just like to point out right now we have Jesse Jackson Jr. headed to prison, the mayor of Detroit headed to prison.
And some white people, too.
Yeah, treasurer of the state of Arkansas is in hot water for diverting funds. There's a lot of politicians, government employees.
Right, because some people in government are corrupt. That means all government's bad?
No, but the same holds true for private contractors.
Yeah, but private contractors have the profit motive, which is not always. For example, if you're doing private prisons and you have a
then they have a financial incentive to
round up people and you know make them clients of the private prison system.
And you like some of that money back that we dumped into the what do you call it in Iraq, right? Blackwater and all of those private contractors.
They got a high profit from that.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the cost if we hired government workers to do that?
It would have been cheaper because there wouldn't have been a profit motive.
Right.
So by the time we got through with the bureaucracy and the permitting and the union wages, I can guarantee you.
Oh, it's the unions.
It's the unions' fault?
Of course.
Unions.
Really?
Yes, unions and unions. Blacks. Unions and blacks. I was just
all
those
blacks are going to prison and the unions are costing everyone money.
Because
the unions have become so much more powerful in the past.
Right. Let's just review. The only people currently going to prison, Jesse Jackson Jr. and the mayor of Detroit, of course.
Black guys.
It's a room full of black guys.
Right.
It's a prison full of black guys.
Prison full of black guys and union guys.
Right, and union guys. Okay.
Yeah, look at Jimmy Hoffa.
And apparently private contractors. Yeah, there's that wasn't a huge black hole. Didn't a bunch of money go missing?
Yes.
In Iraq?
Yes. Lots and lots and lots of
money. Wasn't it a pallet of cash that went missing?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yes.
And also, those private contractors wired these showers so people got electrocuted.
Yes.
And a lot of our soldiers are poisoned because of bad water.
Yes.
And black water.
We
Thanks,
paid for that.
Z.
Yeah.
We paid for that. Okay. All right, then. You
might
have done
the private sector is always better than the public sector.
You might have done better there.
Those damn unions.
I was going to say, you might have done it better there. Maybe a union electrician might have done a better job.
Uh-huh. Yeah, someone actually skilled.
Right. Right. You know, some regulations, something like that.
Yep. Whatever.
You know, whatever.
No, you're just talking crazy
That's
cuckoo bananas
talk.
That's
big government. But certain circuits got to go in certain places so people don't get, you know.
Whatever.
220, 110, what's the difference?
Is it grounded? Is it grounded?
Grounded.
You could use a new hairdo.
Showers are built on the ground. It's grounded. Sheesh.
What? Electricity and water. What could possibly go wrong?
Boy. Okay. An IRS, of the non-scandals, let's touch briefly on the IRS. An IRS supervisor in Washington said she was personally involved in scrutinizing some of the earliest applications from Tea Party groups seeking tax-exempt status, including some requests that languished. for more than a year without action. Holly Paz told congressional investigators she reviewed maybe 20 or 30 applications. However, she provided no evidence that senior IRS officials ordered agents to target conservative groups or that anyone in the Obama administration outside the IRS was involved.
Nope. The reason that they were targeted is because they were doing blatantly political things and trying to get tax-exempt status.
Yes. Right. Instead, Paz described an agency in which IRS supervisors in Washington worked closely with agents in the field but didn't fully understand what those agents were doing. Paz said agents in Cincinnati openly talked about handling Tea Party cases, but she thought the term was merely shorthand for all applications from groups that were politically active, conservative, and liberal. Paz said dozens of Tea Party applications sat untouched for more than a year while field agents waited for guidance from Washington on how to handle them. At the time, she said Washington officials thought the agents in Cincinnati were processing the cases. Again, how many people can testify where they go, this was not something ordered by the White House that was politically motivated?
Paz is Spanish, by the way.
Paz. Pardon me. Pardon me. Yes. All right.
Hasta la huerta, por ejemplo.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Sí, gracias.
And chorizo.
Okay. Just for fun, I have
to... La plume de ma tante est sur la table.
You know I'm not...
La pared es gris.
Thank you.
It is.
Sí. ¿Dónde están los pantalones?
Claro que sí.
No hay pantalones.
You know I don't pay attention to the Twitter that much.
I know.
Except when Donald Trump gets demolished by the Modern Family writer.
This was the awesome.
How hilarious.
Yeah.
He gets into a Twitter war with a really, really great Emmy-winning professional comedy writer.
Yes.
You're stupid. You're
dope. Yeah, that's what it is.
Did you see? Have you seen this?
They're
this
like
is awesome.
Eighth grade. You're stupid.
Yeah.
And then the writer's just like, yes. And Donald Trump engaged in another Twitter war of words. This time with a writer for the sitcom Modern Family. The result was Trump getting pummeled in the first round. Danny Zucker is his name.
Of words with Donald Trump and a. Right. Emmy Award-winning writer.
Hmm. Donald Trump, I've been warning about China since as early as the 80s. No one wanted to listen. Now our country's in real trouble. Hashtag time to get tough. Danny Zucker writes back, Donald Trump, you've always been tough on China, sir, particularly the children who make your clothes.
Yeah.
I need some comedy.
Oh, then it goes on.
Yes, Donald Trump. Danny, you're a total loser. Oh, good one.
Yeah, that's...
Total loser.
Danny writes back, Donald Trump, your insults need work. Here's one I've been working on. Every picture you post of yourself is a pic. See? Donald Trump. I can't resist hitting lightweight Danny Zucker verbally when he starts up because he's just so pathetic and easy. Stupid. Oh, again.
Oh, wow.
Good one. Good
what
one.
What are you, eight?
Danny Zucker writes back, since you're unable to manufacture decent comebacks, maybe you should outsource the job to China. Hashtag LOL Trumpelskiltskin. Donald Trump, lightweight Danny Zucker is too stupid to see that China and others is destroying the U.S. economically. Our leaders are helpless. Sad.
Stupid, dumb.
Danny writes back, I'm definitely too stupid to see how manufacturing your clothes in China while you bloviate about them isn't hypocritical.
I'm not hypocritical. You're the one who's hypocritical.
And it goes on. All right, 58 minutes after the
hour. Hugely hypocritical.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. It's Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook and on Twitter.
Yes.
Check it out.
Yes.
We're still enjoying the Twitter war between Donald Trump and the Modern Family writer, Danny Zucker.
He's dumb.
Trump demolished into dust.
You're stupid.
That's all he had.
You're stupid.
Danny, stupid.
Lightweight, stupid.
Stupid, right. Lightweight.
Please, some more comedy music. Donald Trump, it goes on. I was, before the break, doing the beginning of it. Just try watching Modern Family, written by a moron. Really boring. Writer has the mind of a very dumb and backward child. Sorry, Danny.
He's dumb.
Danny writes, but Donald Trump doesn't like the show I work on, but then we've never tested well with the racist, hypocritical, multiple bankruptcy demo.
Nice.
You're dumb. Stupid dumb.
Uh-oh, Trump started, that made him write in caps now.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Means you've lost the argument.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who on earth is Danny Zucker? ? A lightweight moron only gets attention by attacking Trump. No, actually, he gets a lot of attention, a lot of viewers, a lot of Emmys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
by being a great writer.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And not dumb.
Daddy, it's clearly the one thing Donald Trump did not inherit from his daddy was a thesaurus.
Oh, oh God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hashtag loser, snap. Hashtag dummy, hashtag lightweight. Daddy Zucker, bye for now, Donald Trump. I have a busy night of not grandstanding to put the wrong people to death in the Central Park mugging case.
Oh.
Oh. Yikes.
Danny Zucker has
down
a long memory,
goes
too.
Trump.
Stupid.
Goes Trump.
Dumb. Stupid. 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 Boring. Stupid.
And there was no response from Trump after that.
That was one of the most entertaining Twitter wars ever. Ever.
Even more entertaining than my Twitter wars with Dana Loesch?
Well, you know.
Well, she's blocked me, so I don't get into the Twitter wars with her anymore. Aww. Or her lovely racist husband.
That must be quite a void in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. You know, sometimes, Jim, just the speaking of stupid hashtags, stupid,
wait.
Dumb. Sometimes the headline says it all. Bear mauls man who gave it meat.
Oh.
He's fine. Just saying. In Alaska.
What an ingrate.
Yes, a black bear mauled a man at a campground north of Anchorage. He won't lightly threaten other people. The bear was pretty much goaded into the attack, according to the Department of Fish and Game, because the man fed it meat from a church barbecue. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the question you're going to ask? Was there drinking involved?
Yes.
Yes, the man had been drinking and went for a bike ride, taking some of the food along.
Hey!
He came across the bear and threw it a piece of meat. Then when he offered the bear another piece, it attacked. Oh, bear leg meat here, more.
Eat out of my hand, bear.
Meat. Man meat. Meat.
Hey, bear. Yogi.
Oh, boy.
He just wanted a picnic basket.
The man was treated for puncture wounds and scratches and extreme stupidity.
Well, you wanted to pet a bear when you were in Alaska.
Oh, I just wanted a picture.
Can I stand next to you?
You wanted to pet a bear?
Yeah, my friend.
You
was
can't
like, take my picture with the bear, because he was behind me. He was like, I'm not right behind me. I was like, get my picture with the bear, look.
Bears run faster than you.
Yes.
Right. You do realize this, right?
Yeah, I know.
They're good at that.
She's like, I don't know.
Take
my picture with the bear.
They run faster than you bike if you were on a bike trip.
It was like in the back ride, so that'd be a cool picture. I'm just like, hurry, take a picture.
Don't do that.
All right, well, if I didn't have meat. Let me use some meat to get the bear closer for the picture. Eh, boy. Hey, speaking of dumb things from Alaska, Sarah Palin.
Oh, God, she's back.
Sarah Palin on Syria. Oh, really? Let Allah sort it out.
What are we doing in Syria, anyway?
I can see Syria from my house.
Oh, boy. She, Actually, here, this is where you know a wormhole has truly opened in the universe. She actually, I don't know, I actually share her point about not the racist part that she threw in, the Islamophobic part, but about that I'm not sure we should be in Syria. That's what I'm saying. She suggested the U.S. government should stay out of Syria, saying, let Allah sort it out.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but when
Jim,
the Russians are supporting...
Where's my Sarah Palin music? Just you read it, because I can't. It's the whole paragraph there. It's word salad. And
take a deep breath.
It's more appetizing when you
read
it. Okay. All right. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Militarily, where's our commander-in-chief? We're talking now more new interventions. I say until we know what we're doing, until we have a commander-in-chief who knows what he's doing, well, let these radical Islamic countries aren't even respecting basic human rights, where both sides are slaughtering each other to scream over an arbitrary red line. Allah Akbar, I say until there's someone who knows what they're doing, I say let Allah sort it out.
So you agree with Sarah Palin?
I don't know. Michael Moore and Glenn Beck agree with each other. I don't know what's happening anymore. Al Franken and Dick Cheney agree with each other on all this NSA stuff. I don't
It's
understand.
Sticky.
It's a wicket? Or
no,
just sticky?
I just said it's sticky because I've been forbidden from the saying that other thing because you co-opted it.
It's a wiki stick it.
It's a wiki stick it.
Exactly. Oh, dear. So we've mentioned the, the summit. Awkward! It's awkward body language. President Obama and Pooty Poot. Western leaders rebuked Vladimir Putin for supporting Syria's Bashar Assad's attempt to crush a two-year-old uprising, setting the stage for a tense G8 summit. Many, many people disappointed with each other. The president expected to use his first face-to-face meeting with Putin to try to persuade the Kremlin chief to bring Assad to the negotiating table to end the conflict, in which at least 93,000 people have been killed. Putin described anti-Assad rebels as cannibals who ate human flesh. What?
Yeah, well, there was that video of the guy cutting out someone's heart and eating
yes,
it.
Okay.
That was on
on
Bill Maher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he was hungry. He wanted a snack.
Oh,
dear. And warned Obama of the dangers of giving guns to such people. Moscow also said it would not permit no-fly zones over Syria. Western leaders have criticized Russia, Syria's most powerful ally, for sending weapons to Assad forces and considering deliveries of a sophisticated missile system. Yeah, one of the many things that may be unwise would be proxy war with Russia, it looks like.
We've been through that.
Yeah, the president.
We do have differing perspectives on the problem, but we share an interest in reducing the violence, securing chemical weapons, and ensuring that they're neither used nor are they subject to proliferation.
Did you see the president was trying to make some, lighten things up about how he's not as good a basketball player as he used to be? And Putin's like, he is trying to get me in a better mood. Yet. Obama.
We've got serious interests there. And not only humanitarian interests. We can't have a situation of ongoing chaos in a major country that borders a country like Jordan, which in turn borders Israel.
I hit black belt in judo. I throw you across the room.
Here is Putin. Yesterday.
All of us have the intention to stop the violence in Syria, to stop the growth of victims, and to solve this, the situation peacefully, including by bringing the parties to the negotiations table in Geneva.
As a translator, obviously.
Yes, I got that, yes.
Putin does speak fluent German because he was head of the KGB in East Germany.
But they weren't in Germany.
Right.
So.
Right, so there's
but
that.
His English is he's little dicey. He's sticky wicked.
That's a tough word to say with a Russian accent.
You try it. Okay. Representative Mike Rogers, Republican, Michigan.
It seems to me they have a great media strategy. They don't have a great Syrian strategy.
Oh, really? What's your idea exactly?
Your idea is stupid. Dumb.
Lightweight.
Lightweight, dumb, stupid.
Austin in Maryland. Hi, Austin. Welcome.
Hey, my husband is a private contractor for the United States military, and I felt compelled to call and defend him. We got out of the Navy. He was in there for 7 years. He was an awesome sailor. He had a top secret security clearance. He was proud of being a sailor. He ended up getting out of the military because the pay was not good enough to support our two children. He went and worked as a private contractor for the government and still does. Most of the people he worked with got out of the military for the same reason. We love our government. We support our government. But the military doesn't pay enough when you have a family.
True.
There is a joke that they say. When you ask for help, they give you the information to go to WIC or social services. And they tell you, sir, I'm sorry. We would have issued you a family in boot camp if we would have wanted you to have one.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband went and said, you know what? I love the military, but if I want to work with him, I got to be able to make some money. So now he's a private contractor. It's one in 65 billion that does something retarded like Snowden did.
Oh, dear. Okay.
It's
all
like
right.
one in
you.
A million all that right. does stuff like
I prefer
that
a different phrase, but right. I do think there is a difference, Austin, between, our national security secrets. I'm just saying clearly, this is a specific case, but I'm just saying, and we did, look, Blackwater did walk away with a lot of money, taxpayer money they shouldn't have in Austin. So
and
I'm not saying the specific people are bad people.
Of operation overseas.
Right.
Right.
They are not military. They're not trained for that sort of thing, and that's hostile territory. They knew that.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's all. We're not saying every individual person that works for a private contractor is a bad person. We're talking about the general.
Blackwater in general.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty. Yeah.
Sketchy
Derek,
things.
Derek in Chicago, about the story about the bear. Hi, Derek.
Yes, how's it going, everybody?
Good, go ahead.
Yeah, the funny story is that if you're running downhill, a bear has a hard time chasing you because it's going to fall over.
Very
top-heavy.
That's funny.
So the only chance that man had was to run downhill. Funny story, though. Same thing with Donald Trump.
Hey, so what happens when... So, Derek, what happens when...
He's gone.
Oh.
I didn't know you had a question. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was wondering what happens when a bear gets to the top of a mountain.
Then he's done. He can't get down. That's it. Well, he can get down. He just has to wait till no one's looking so people don't laugh.
Okay. Because he has to tiptoe, back down.
He's falling down the hill. It's just have to wait until there's nobody around.
Right. He rolls himself into a ball.
Right. Because he looks doofy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then rolls downhill, gathering snow.
It's when someone catches you tripping. I meant to do that. I was
sure.
Right.
Hey,
woo-woo.
Hey, 17 minutes after the hour, right back.
Yogi, you fell over, Yogi.
So cold.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Wix.com. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Deb in California. Hi, Deb.
Hey there, love.
Hello.
Good morning to my morning coffee people.
Thank you.
Hey.
You guys are so cool.
Thank you.
So the
Thank
reason
you.
I called was because this young lady, I mean, bless her soul, but when Mr. Cheney was in the Congress, he is pretty much primarily responsible for corporations being able to make money during war, during wartime.
Right.
It used to be the law that we couldn't do that, but Mr. Cheney took care of that at the time that he was forming Halliburton, which may change its name,
yeah,
but it's
did
the
you,
same animal.
Did you do a Scooby-Doo when you heard him, I question this letting private contractors? I'm like, I'm sorry, what now?
Oh,
you invented it.
Anytime anyone, including my husband and I, talked about it for 5 minutes and we felt like we'd been raped.
Yeah.
We just feel like, what is he doing getting any attention? My point is that in this whole rigmarole, the poor girl doesn't understand that the increased cost of the military-industrial comp, the whole thing, is included in the money that is subsidized towards the corporation that her husband works for, and
right.
that we are paying for that. So, I mean, God bless her. I'm glad her kids get to go to college or whatever the hell's
right.
going on.
Right.
But I don't get why we have to, if we're going to, I think the solution is to stop the ability for large corporations to make money on war and then pay our military better for the standing militia. And maybe that's a solution. But it seems to me that every single problem we have goes back to Dick Cheney either being in Congress or being the vice president or
mm-hmm.
acting as our president during that. He wants to make the money off of the war, so he makes it legal.
Yep, it all goes back to Dick, Deb. You know what I'm saying.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you.
Bring back the GI Bill if you want to.
Yeah. By the way, yes.
Someone on Twitter says, you only need to run faster than your friend when a bear is chasing you.
Just make sure you go on vacation with a really slow friend.
A friend, exactly.
Hey, wait up.
Him.
Wait up.
Oh, boy. All right. He's weak. Get him. All right. Oh, by the way, doesn't I can't remember who it is we're talking about. If they had their way, Republicans, they'd privatize everything, including NASA.
Yeah.
Remember, who was it that was saying that? You're like, what? Privatize all, huh? Here's the good news. NASA has picked 8 new astronauts. 4 of them are women.
Yay for chicks.
Yay. Exactly.
What?
Among the lucky candidates, the first female fighter pilot to become an astronaut in nearly 2 decades, a female helicopter pilot is also in the group. In fact, 4 of the 8 are women, the highest percentage of female astronaut candidates ever selected by NASA.
Hopefully no crazy ones.
Right. Like, no. Like,
yeah, they have
like
a history.
Like Spacey McPeepants.
Yeah.
The crazy astronaut that stalked the guy with the, remember?
The bag full of Acme.
Exploding birdseed
yeah.
in her trunk and diapers. She drove in diapers.
She had a mallet.
Right. Yes, and a mallet. And some other stuff. Movable hole in the mountain.
Yeah.
Bunch of stuff. Okay. We've come a long way since the first female astronaut, remember?
10, 9, 8. 7.
Excuse me, Mission Control?
What is it this time, Commander Collins?
I am so sorry to stop the launch again, but are you sure about the orange jumpsuit? Just look at me in the pink one more time. What do you think?
It looks exactly the same as the orange one.
No, it doesn't. The orange one makes my stomach look poofy.
Jesus H. Christ on a popsicle stick. We've got the heaviest payload in shuttle history. We've got to go.
Are you saying I'm fat? You're talking about me, right? It's the heaviest because of me, right? Because I'm fat!
Oh, for f***'s sake, I give up.
It is water weight. Does anyone care? I'm floated. Why is everybody jumping?
this damn cockpit!
And that's why we got fired from our Apple radio job.
Wow! We were a little anti-feminist back in the
kind
day,
of.
Weren't we?
Mars needs women.
All right.
Wow.
All right. We've been talking about the NSA secret data gathering. The president defended the NSA spying programs as legal. He was talking about the FISA court. He said it is transparent. Edward Snowden, by the way, accused members of Congress and the administration of exaggerating their claims about the success of data gathering programs. Well, it seems to me like he wouldn't know for certain either. Would he about all? I mean, you can't just unequivocally say that it has never foiled any terrorist plots. I'm sure it has. Again, which one specifically? And he was talking about the New York subway one. Mm-hmm. He said he could have been caught with a narrower targeted surveillance program. The president said we might have caught him some other way. We might have disrupted it because a New York cop saw he was suspicious. Maybe he turned out to be incompetent and the bomb didn't go off. But at the margins, we are increasing our chances of preventing a catastrophe like that through these programs, which, you know, and again, is the balance off? I don't know. But I think, you know, I think a reasonable person would have to say that's true.
It's kind of hard to prove a negative, though. Look at all the stuff that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, I think the way you know is if Dick Cheney says it, it's a lie.
Yeah. Pretty much.
President Obama says it. I really thought my head was going to explode on that. He literally was on Fox News talking to Chris Wallace?
Yeah.
Dick Cheney about, I think the president doesn't have any credibility. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Almost everything he ever said was like a provable lie, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We'll bust out the Dick Cheney lies montage tomorrow.
Sure.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
We know for certain that he met with Muhammad Atta and blah, blah, blah.
Blah.
Blah. Right. Blah. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Believe me, everyone takes the easy way if they can. That's why we tell fart jokes. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
That's
pretty much our show.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, but not on Tuesdays. Then we elevate. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce!
I'm not pulling you guys out of the ditch.
Oh, come on! Please!
No. I'm prepared to go as low as you guys.
You actually think the same thing.
Sometimes the barrel has no bottom, and on the Stephanie Miller Show, there is no bottom to the barrel.
You're absolutely right.
Charlie Pierce, you think what I think. You just put the work into expressing it eloquently while I just tell the fart jokes. However,
well, like Donald Trump.
I think
stupid!
I think it hearing you say it at Esquire.com is all I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Like, for instance, I love the Snowden effect continued. And you write, "Dear Jesus, he's quite the dramatic fellow, isn't he?" That's what I keep thinking. I'm like, all right, a little drama queenie, right?
Well, the government is not going to kill him. All right. I mean, I'm as skeptical of the intelligence community as anybody in the world, but the United States government is not going to have this guy iced.
Right.
They'll throw him in jail forever if they get a chance to, but,
right.
And that's bad enough, but they're not going to have him killed, and he shouldn't be out there telling people, using the word murdered in the context of his life right now.
It's very Jason, very Jason Bourne. Very,
no one's going to murder him, okay? I mean, people are going to try to, you know, put him in jail. And
well, you say Glenn Greenwald asked him, how many sets of the documents you disclosed do you make? How many different people have them? If anything happens to you, do they still exist? And you say Snowden stopped short of answering the question and said, all I can say now is the U.S. government is not going to be able to cover this up by jailing or murdering me.
Well, I mean, I good for him. See, my problem with it is that I have tremendous sympathy for what he did. I'm glad he did it. I'm glad we know what we know. Now shut up. Because every time you go out there and start talking about, you know, the triads and your international man of mystery persona,
mm-hmm.
you give the people who don't like you another reason to, and the people who are on your side you know, a problem.
I think he needs to start learning Icelandic.
You've already done the good thing. Now fade away a little bit and huddle with your lawyers because you're going to need them.
Yeah. You said he explained that he went to Hong Kong, not directly to Iceland, because if I'm reading this correctly, the U.S. was more likely to drop a drone on him in Reykjavik or something.
That's just a touch exaggerated. I think what he meant was he was more likely to get detained if he went to Iceland than if he went to Hong Kong. But I just don't think. The regular appearance of they're out to get me and I'm only putting myself out here to keep from getting murdered, you know, scenario doesn't cause any good. But what the heck?
You say the United States government is not interested in murdering you. If you have proof to the contrary, please provide it. And all answers containing the names Al Awaki or Rand Paul will be immediately disallowed by our judges. Yes, I believe that part is true. We'll see what's next in this, right? He says he's got more.
If he's got more, I have a feeling we'll see it. There hasn't been any reluctance to put stuff out there yet, so.
Yeah. And the president obviously gave his interview. He was saying that it is transparent. That's what we have the FISA court.
Stop right there. The whole thing just went off the cliff. FISA issues secret warrants.
Right.
FISA is not transparent.
Right.
Right.
I mean, back in the day, you know, before the Bush people decided not to use FISA at all.
Right.
Which is, by the way, the distinction that Joe Scarborough keeps missing on his show, where he talks about the president being out there in the campaign trail in 2008 railing against this. What he was railing against was warrantless surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, people thought FISA was the greatest offense against the Fourth Amendment ever, and now it's a bulwark of transparency. Give me a break. There was even an entire Law and Order episode arguing that FISA was a violation of the Fourth Amendment because it issued secret warrants for secret break-ins.
Mm-hmm.
So the president say that's transparency is crazy. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, it just is. I mean, he can't even believe that.
What's your idea? Because obviously I've heard other people say that, Charlie, the FISA court is too much of a rubber stamp. What should we do?
Well, we should open up the FISA process is what we should do. We should reconsider the Patriot Act. We should bring actual transparency and actual oversight to the system.
Mm-hmm.
People can't attend briefings and then be told they can't talk about them if they attend, because then they won't attend. I mean, you can't put
that's already happened. You're right.
You can't, exactly. You can't put people in oversight positions in that position. You can't say, okay, you've got to conduct oversight, but as soon as we tell you anything, you can't say anything about it.
That's what, when the NSA had their hearing on Thursday, most people didn't go to it because they wanted to be able to talk about it.
Right.
Right, and of course, what that does is spread ignorance because you've got people talking about stuff they don't understand.
Exactly.
Because if they hear it, they can't speak it. I mean, it's preposterous.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
this is edging toward the softer edges of East Germany right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. By the way, you wrote a great piece about the further adventures of the free market, about, you know, what people may or may not know is going on in Oklahoma, in Moore, Oklahoma. You say residents of Moore may be shocked when they receive their insurance checks in the coming weeks. Like survivors of previous natural disasters, they will encounter a major obstacle to rebuilding their homes and putting the catastrophe behind them, their mortgage servicer. Turns out the same companies that ripped off homeowners during the foreclosure crisis are, after disasters like Moore tornado, withholding repair money, often to force homeowners to use the proceeds to pay their mortgage.
Oh, wow.
This is Dave Dan's. It's a great piece. That's actually what Dave Dan wrote. I linked to it.
It's a great piece
in the New Republic about the vultures coming to pick the bones, basically.
Yeah,
we have built up in this country a class of business types who have utterly no compunction of taking the last piece of meat off the carcass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where this came from. I mean, it built up over the years because there used to be such things as responsible businessmen. I'm not sure there are that many anymore.
No.
Well, as you say, your house is pretty much gone, but you have to use the money to pay off the house that isn't there anymore. The logic of capitalism remains unassailable.
Wow.
But you make a better, larger point that you just were saying about how do we get here. You say somehow we've raised a couple of generations of business and corporate types without empathy and without any identifiable social conscience.
Because people didn't realize Gordon Gekko is not supposed to be a sympathetic character.
Right, right. That was not a good...
Ooh, I want to be that.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know what they're teaching in business schools or whatever, but it is in ethics, and it certainly isn't social policy. I mean, you had to imagine yourself in the meetings. Where somebody came up with this great idea and everybody got raises and got cheered, and this guy's probably the smartest. This guy's probably, you know, the Alec Baldwin character now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
the guy who thought up the idea of let's make these poor people use their relief money to pay us instead of rebuilding their homes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how does that do any good for anybody? How does not rebuilding a home do any good for, you know, whatever economic comeback more Oklahoma is going to have?
Right. Well, I mean, and you say, you know, maybe it comes from 40 years of exalting the business community at the expense of the political commonwealth in which we should all be engaged. Maybe we just suck as a nation. I don't know. It just seems we're dangerously close to a moment in which the entire society looks at an accident victim lying bloody in the street, and its first thought is, how much can it get for his watch? I mean,
Yeah,
I mean that's I mean, and I don't know. I'm going to go with maybe we suck as a nation. I don't know.
I think somehow we've got to disenthrall ourselves from this worship of the market and business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has to be done through politics because there's no other way to do it. But you've got so much money floating around now that you've got so many people invested in this, you know, this, you know, free market, you know, conjuring and hokum that, you know, I'm not sure how we get back from it.
Yeah.
And 8,000 people have been arrested for protesting the banks. I don't think a single banker has been sent to jail.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, as you say, our revered Elizabeth Warren says tricks and traps, right?
That's what she's talking about. That this provision about being having to use your relief money to pay the mortgages, to pay the mortgage servicer rather than rebuild your home. Right. That's way down in the fine print somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's only one reason why it's there.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd have written it in Latin if they could have gotten away with it.
Mm. Yeah. Charlie, we haven't talked about Syria. Obviously, a little bit of a, what is it, Chris? A sticky wicket.
A sticky wicket, as the kids say.
What do you think?
What do I think? I think the president took the least bad option, but I think it's a terrible option.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that Bill Clinton should be ashamed of himself.
Yep.
I think this idea that we are now going to get back into the era of proxy wars scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Because apparently Lindsey Graham wants to be in a proxy war with everybody.
Yeah.
He wants to be in a proxy war with Iran and Russia, Hezbollah.
And not just that, but it to me echoes of Iraq, right? In that it's complicated, and you've got Hezbollah and Iran forces right on one side, and then the side we're apparently going to back has Al Qaeda elements in it. It's just,
I don't know what we're going to send, but I guarantee you it won't be the last thing we send.
Yeah.
Because we're in it now. I mean, regardless. And you've got people talking about, creating a no-fly zone. Well, the only way to create a no-fly zone is to bomb the hell out of Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because that's where the anti-aircraft stuff is. And, okay, fine. But then you're in it. I mean, once you start blowing up civilian areas, they're not going to be grateful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, exactly.
I mean, we're right in the middle of it. It's actually closer to, Vietnam than it is to Iraq because it's an actual civil war now.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, not a lot of happy clappiness, but really good stuff nonetheless.
Of course, then again, Vladimir Putin never stole any of my bling.
That is true.
Now, by the way, Chris Hayes said this last night. He jacked Robert Kraft's bling. I never thought I'd hear Chris Hayes say jacking anyone's bling. But he actually did it.
I wonder if the president checked for his watch after he shook Putin's hand. Hey, wait a minute.
What kind of brass ones do you have? Oh, very nice ring. Thank you. Right in the pocket and then off with the KGB. Then you put it in a museum in the Kremlin.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the Russians do. What is this thing?
I love that he got a visit from the KGB. Would be better for you to say his gift.
In German, see everybody to get from a ring.
All right. Charlie Pierce, love you,
honey. And I will see you in a couple weeks,
yep,
I guess.
Absolutely. All right, love you. Charlie Pierce, Twitter.com. Great stuff as always. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 49 minutes after the hour. It's 1-800-STEP-12, actually. Don't call the 8675. Don't.
No.
Okay. Ruth,
I think that number's been retired.
Yeah, probably. Ruth in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
First, I have to tell you how much I love and depend on you and the show.
Aww.
And how much it means to have a progressive voice.
Aw, thank you.
And then I need to say that I am more concerned, though, about the privatization of all of these people getting involved, millions of people without government oversight and a revolving door that exists between the CIA and NSA. And there's an article in today's New York Times, because I get so emotional, I'm all over the board, and I don't want to be crazy talking about NASA. But it's from my perspective, I would prefer to listen to the Alan Graysons and Udall and the people that have actually been trying to alert us for years but couldn't because...
Right.
And I don't blame this guy for running away. He might be using, you know, fear of death. But we took a lot of people, and there's a lot of people in Guantanamo that we still don't know, you know, whether, because we've never charged them and we've never allowed
right.
them.
Right, yeah. But that's
you know
not,
what I'm saying?
Right, but that's not, again, the president's fault. The president tried, you know. I mean, this is, that's what I'm saying. You know, there is a huge difference between President Obama and Dick Cheney. And this guy, wow. Sometimes you have to read the headline several times.
Okay.
To get now. Republican cites masturbating fetuses to support new abortion restrictions.
Huh?
What? Huh?
Wait.
Wait now.
Wait.
Representative Michael Burge is shocked to tell you he's a Republican from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a dumb-off in which someone is trying to unseat Louis Gohmert in Texas? What is happening? He asserted that he witnessed male fetuses pleasuring themselves as early as 15 weeks after conception.
Where did you see this?
His comments came during a House Rules Committee debate on a pain-capable unborn child protection act, which would ban abortions nationwide after 20 weeks of pregnancy. He said, this is a subject I do know something about, citing his experience as an OBGYN. There is no question in my mind that a baby at 20 weeks after conception can feel pain. The fact of the matter is I argue with the chairman because I thought the date was far too late. We should be setting this at 15 weeks. Watch a sonogram of a 15-week baby. They have movements that are purposeful. They stroke their face. If they're a male baby, they may have their hand between their legs. If they feel pleasure, why is it so hard to think? Okay, that is not a baby rubbing one out necessarily just because their hand happens to be between their legs. Give me a break. Really?
That's how he interpreted it, which says a lot about him.
Wow. Uh-huh. Wow. Really? So you can see on a sonogram a baby's hand in a certain place, and you assume that, right. Yeah, they're watching some sort of baby porn.
Baby porn. Yeah.
Yes.
Zygote porn.
Right.
Says a lot about this representative, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Masturbating fetuses.
Maybe he was the one rubbing one out, looking at sonograms.
Oh, right. Oh,
Jim. Line.
Yes, okay. You know. That's a little more than kitty porn. Okay, Catherine in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Catherine.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
Hello.
Love your show.
Thank you.
And it's just about the only one left that they aren't censoring.
Wow. And I bet you they wish they could.
I'm telling you, I've really been upset with Dish lately. I've been just firing off on them and calling in. MSNBC, now I'm seeing all of that. I'm seeing all the Republicans out there. And that's not going to change our minds.
Right.
By the way. And if anybody doesn't remember the big conundrum that California got into when we deregulated our energy do you remember Enron?
Yep.
I was so angry over that and the statements that their employees were making that they almost changed my mind to the private industry altogether.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, there's example after example. As we keep talking about Halliburton with Dick Cheney piping up lately. David and Charlotte, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hi.
Hi.
Stephanie. I guess maybe I'm out of the loop or something. I'm missing something here, but I don't have a problem with this wiretapping and any of this surveillance that the government is doing because I'm trying to understand what's the liberal stance on it because I'm a liberal, but I don't see anything wrong with it because if they're doing it to keep us safe or they're what they're looking for, they can tap my line all day long.
So you assume that you're not doing anything wrong.
Well, I think I'm not doing anything.
Well, as far as you know.
Yeah, well, you said that you're looking for a liberal stance. I don't know that
there is one. You know, are you talking about Al Franken or Michael Moore?
Exactly. I mean,
everybody's on a different.
This is
know.
All over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. I said, what do we want? I mean, we live in a different time now where they're plotting different things. We have the internet didn't exist back when the Constitution was written. We didn't have email then, so therefore we have to revisit freedom of speech. We have to revisit the Second Amendment. We have to revisit all those things in the Constitution, because when that was written, we didn't have the technologies that we have now. So
David, I think technology we were talking about yesterday has gone so far, even since right after 9/11. I mean, our technology has so exponentially, gone forward that I think we don't, that's the thing. So many people, I think we assume we're already giving up so much privacy. Most people buy stuff every day online and willingly give up all their information.
Right, but that's, you're giving your information to private companies. What we're talking about.
Who then sell it to someone else. I mean, David's point is at least the government, I guess, is ostensibly trying to keep us safe. I mean, they're doing it for a reason. They're not. Yeah.
If you have nothing to hide, if you're not doing anything, why should that bother
As far as you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, but that's a slippery slope.
Yeah, that is a slippery slope.
I mean,
a slippery slope on what? In what
meaning, the government comes in and they decide you're doing something wrong just because of what you believe or think or say.
Okay.
Watch what you say as what's his name?
Ari Fleischer. Ari Fleischer, said about Bill Maher, yeah.
I mean, what you say, look what people write online. Do you see the stuff that people write online every day? All the things, the threats that they make towards the president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, sure, I'm on Yahoo and Yahoo comments.
Yeah, I mean nothing. Yeah, Yahoo comments are horrible. Yeah. I mean, and you say, look at what they say.
You don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy in the Yahoo comments section.
Right.
You do have a reasonable expectation of privacy in your phone calls.
Yeah, to an extent.
No, the Supreme Court has ruled.
So if you're part of a militia and you're planning to go do something, and you don't think that if they're speaking on the telephone and they're planning this bombing or anything through some type of militia, we should have no way of trying to foil those type of plots. We should just let that go because you're free to do that.
First of all, if they're planning it on the telephone, they're morons.
Right.
Well,
but a warrant can be gotten for those particular phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how would you know?
Talking about is a blanket sweep of all phone calls. That is against the Fourth Amendment.
But how is it? They're not monitoring everyone's phone calls at all at one time. That's impossible to do that.
Well, that's
working on it.
Well, that's what, David, I think the debate is over whether metadata is, the kind of invasion of privacy that some people are saying it is. I mean, because they're saying it's not the content of the conversations, it's the
connections of one phone number to another phone number, and whether there's a pattern of those connections happening.
Right.
Yeah, and if you're not involved in something, you won't be a part of that connection. That's the way I look at it. I mean, I had already assumed that the government was doing this ever since 9/11 anyway. So this is not surprising to me. I don't understand what the big hoopla is now.
Well, that's what, that's what Bill Maher said. We'll get that sound clip if we can. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Rolando Watson Moore as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice Stevie, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Every time a Kardashian spawns, an angel loses its wings out here in Hollywood. Kim Kardashian had a baby. We missed that yesterday.
Mm.
She apparently checked into a private birthing suite at Cedars-Sinai, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that baby girl for she and Kanye. Kanye not there for the actual birth, according to Gawker. That would have been too gross.
What?
Gawker says he'll probably have the chance to watch it on E, though.
Yeah.
Because if a Kardashian does something off camera, did it ever really happen?
No.
He says no.
All right, that is my FCC-required Kardashian news.
Yeah.
A Kardashian has spawned.
Doesn't Seacrest take care of that?
We just have to make sure it's all covered.
I see. All right.
Okay. All right. Jim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the NSA thing. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Steph. Listen, they're not targeting terrorists. There are virtually no terrorists in the United States. What they're doing is targeting opponents of the imposition of a military police state by the DHS. the subcommittee, the Homeland Security Committee of the Senate released a report on 3 October 2012 based upon a survey of 680 fusion center reports where fusion centers merged federal, state, and local anti-terrorist efforts. From 2009-2010, Steph, they found zero, none, not a single indication of any domestic terrorist activity. Mm-hmm. This whole operation is to track down people like veterans, militia members, constitutionalists, Ron Paul supporters.
Are you a Ron Paul supporter, Jim? Are you a Ron Paul supporter?
It's to protect the national security state, not national security. The national security state.
Yeah, I knew he was going to get to him.
I felt the crazy Captain Liberty train coming down the track.
Yeah,
so there's like, this is the wrong Paul
there's
guy.
There's reason to be afraid of a national security state,
right.
But once it's
but not a single domestic terrorist.
No, that's wrong.
Yes, you're right.
All right, and scene. Okay. Yeah. Wow. It's this, you know, it's making everybody crazy, all them snooping on us, is my point.
The government snooping, you see, on my grandfather and me, around the internet, now we do roam, surfing all night, got on our Wi-Fi. Well, I feel that they might just send me a drone.
Uh-oh.
So dump all your old emails, see if surveillance quits. Call for the whistleblower to make it on home. Let him go home. Why don't you leave him alone? Oh, yeah. Well, I feel that they might just send him a drone.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Rock, roll. Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yay.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from an era. Jason in D.C. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Hello.
You know, I think the interesting thing about what's going on here is there's over a million people in the United States right now that have clearances with the government.
Uh-huh.
And I think a big part of this really has to do with the fact that I work in D.C., okay? I know people that are involved in agencies that nothing that they're dealing with really is top secret. But what's happening is you're having a whole group of people now that are going to be controlled from coming out and being whistleblowers, no matter who the administration is, by the fear that if they talk, they're going to be persecuted. And remember, the thing that's important about this event that's taken place is that people are trying to say, oh, he took an oath that he wasn't going to. Look, the people are committing crimes, okay? If you're committing a crime and somebody becomes a whistleblower, reporting a crime, it's not the whistleblower's fault because he took a confidentiality signature when he took his employment. Crimes are being committed here. And what's happening
Jason, go back. What's the crime that's being committed?
Okay, so we'll go back to the first days here. Every form of electronic communication is being hacked.
Hacked?
Okay, right. Okay, so you send an email, you send a text. Okay, the new place that's opening outside of, it's called Bluffdale. It's outside of Salt Lake City.
Right.
It's 5.5 times the size of the Capitol building, and it's going to collect data on everybody. But here's the key point. Whether or not you're guilty and have ever been hit with a warrant. Okay?
Right.
So now what happens is this. Let's imagine I start collecting metadata on you. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I find out that maybe at one time, you and a girlfriend and then you were calling an abortion clinic or, you were calling a suicide hotline. J. Edgar Hoover, when he ran the FBI, was notorious for using his files to manipulate politicians.
Uh-huh.
We are making it easier for the government to use extortion methods so that in case anything happens, they decide, well, you're not voting the way we want to, or maybe you should drop out of this political race.
Right.
Okay? And that's the real concern that we have here. And these people that are calling up and saying, if I'm not doing
You're saying
anything
it could
wrong,
be used to blow the lid off the whole lesbians having abortions thing?
No, what I'm saying is it can be used as a manipulative tool, because what happens now is the fear.
Right, well, of course, anything can. Any kind of information can, right?
And the point of the matter is you're giving it to a group of people. And but look, the NSA, I mean, do you think the NSA is a group that's going to be, you know, has their best interest at heart for keeping, you know, this idea of America free? No, they're in positions of trying to keep themselves in power, okay? I mean, I know there's so much stuff going on here, and I'll give you a quick example here, okay? Just think about this. Just replay everything that Obama said.
Wait, I'm confused what you're saying. You're saying most people that work at the NSA are only concerned about keeping themselves in power?
But no, what I'm saying is that the
NSA is an organization.
Right.
Right, and this is what happens when you create these organizations. They start to spiral so that they'll never do anything to scale themselves down or mm-hmm. limit what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's just
well, no,
the
I mean, and people have made that
organization.
Right. Jason, people have made that point that it is hard
giving power. Power.
Yeah, I mean, no president's going to give it back is what they're saying. I mean, I get some of your points, but all right.
But he's not even talking about the president, the NSA.
Right, I know, I know.
Organization unto itself, it's
right.
accountable to no one, apparently.
Right.
It's a little,
all right.
little troublesome.
Can I just say one thing? I'm lucky that Amazon is not based in Yemen, because otherwise I would so be.
Yeah, you buy some of the strangest stuff on Amazon.
Stop snooping Pashminas. Around.
Stop leaving your browser open when it's time for me to print things out. Go to my PC.
See, I'm.
That's all you got to do.
People can invade my privacy for years because I'm such a dope technically. I'm like, oh, what?
Shut my what?
What? You bought a 10-pack of Spanx?
Not even.
Really?
Not even really sure what a browser is. Okay, Cindy.
It's your, you know, Firefox.
Oh, okay. Now
Safari.
I know. Now I know. Yo. Good to know. Okay. Cindy in New York, you're on. How do you close it?
You click the X
boy.
In the upper corner.
Oh, good to know. Okay, Cindy in New York.
Okay, your last two callers were, whoa, one side
whoa,
of the other.
What's happening there?
One would, you know, help the Reynolds Wrap group, and the other one, well... You know, he's just babbling on. Anyway, a simple analogy for the NSA and the metadata. A cop can sit outside your home, watch you for days thinking you're doing something wrong, watch you, and see who comes and goes, but they can't come in unless they go and get a warrant. Same thing with the metadata.
Mm.
They can watch you, but they can't come in unless they
right.
go and get a
well,
warrant.
Well,
but they're already
they're saying.
I mean, if you're, you know,
right.
Well, not if they're watching your address, which is your basically your phone number connecting
right.
with
She's
another address.
Right. She's saying there needs to be suspicion to actually look at the content. They're right.
Right. I see your point.
You know, that's the way it works.
Well,
they can watch you on the street. Same thing. They can watch your general phone number, but they can't go and listen to see in what you're doing. Just like a cop.
I'm not sure that's true anymore.
Off the street.
Right.
Since
right. If I could be arrested,
the Cheney administration, I think.
If I could be arrested for buying a 10-pack of Spanx, I might be in trouble. But otherwise,
well, there have been some stranger things you bought.
Shut up.
Oh, really? Do tell,
Michael.
Hello, NSA. You have any idea?
Hello.
You're supposed to be printing my show prep. Just move along, Nosy McNoserson.
Hey, when I sign in to go to my PC, whatever's on your computer at that point in time is what I see.
Mm-hmm. We should have had a go to meeting about how you're going to be using
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Michael in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. Two callers ago probably expressed it better than I can, but I would like to just say that any technological advance can be abused,
mm-hmm.
including the metadata. Now, suppose I'm just going to make up a scenario here. Suppose Marcus Bachman spends his time calling gay porn talk lines.
Just suppose.
I pick someone out of the blue. If the Obama administration was interested in getting its candidate in, it could use the information that I have Marcus Bacchus' phone number and I have this gay porn talk line number, and they've one has called the other 750 times in a 2-month period.
Right.
Let the American people make the decision. What's he doing calling them? You know.
Right.
That's
so you're saying if Marcus Bachman accidentally were to locate, say, Lindsey Graham on his Grindr app, is your point?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The other little point that I'll make is if a million people know something, is it really a secret?
Yeah.
No. If a million people know something about you, how much of a secret is it?
Yeah.
It's blown.
I hear you. I got no secrets. All right. Clearly from you. 17,
well, I'm keeping your secrets.
Oh, thank God.
Well,
17
so far.
So far.
What happens when you get to a certain age? You don't care anymore. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Hmm. 22 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. All right, let's go to Dave in Ohio on the NSA. Hello, Dave.
Hey there. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
First on a personal note, don't worry about your online purchasers. I drunk me two in 2 a.m. 2 weeks ago, bought me a Sonic sober me a Sonic screwdriver. So whatever you
bought a Sonic screwdriver?
Wow.
Yeah.
It screws things in via sound?
It's from Doctor Who.
Doctor Who?
Dr. Huffhar. He's a, Huffhar. You know, Dr. Flarnar that sells the Sonic screwdrivers. What?
Huffhar.
Okay.
Couldn't understand.
I thought it just meant extra vodka in your screwdriver. I thought that's what a Sonic one.
No, apparently it's something from Doctor Who.
Okay. Supreme Court news. As we mentioned yesterday, Supreme Court, this was a big deal, struck down Arizona voter registration citizenship requirement.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court ruled Monday states cannot on their own require would-be voters to prove they are U.S. citizens before using a federal registration system designed to make signing up easier. Justices voted 7-2 to throw out Arizona's voter-approved requirement that prospective voters document their U.S. citizenship in order to use a registration form produced under the federal motor voter registration law. Federal law precludes Arizona from requiring a federal form applicant to submit information beyond that required by the form itself, wrote Justice Antonin Scalia for the court's majority. Here's the big news, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
He, Justice Clarence Thomas, has finally split with
what?
Clarence Thomas and
not
Samuel.
What he said?
Samuel Alito dissented from the court's ruling.
What?
He turns out he could quit him.
What?
He could. Not what he said? Does he even have a stamp that says not what he said?
Wow. I don't think so.
I think they were baffled by his response.
Oh, what, you have an opinion on something?
Trouble in paradise. What? Not talking to you.
Oh.
Disappointed.
I dissent.
I think they're breaking up.
This is the end.
Oh, all right.
It's always sad when a relationship ends.
It really is. It really is. You just, you know, go ahead, just collect your little jar of hearts.
You're going to catch a cold from the ice inside your soul.
I'm guessing that he said that to Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So obviously awaiting the DOMA and Prop 8 rulings, support for gay marriage high in developed nations, according to a new poll. How's about this? Supreme Court may want to get on the right side of world history, not just United States history. Most adults in developed countries favor gay marriage or some type of legal recognition for same-sex couples and think they should be able to adopt children, according to an international poll released yesterday. With the U.S. Supreme Court poised to rule on gay marriage this month and France's recent decision to legalize same-sex marriage, an Ipsos poll for Reuters showed 52% of people in 16 nations favor full marriage equality for gays, 21% support legal recognition but not marriage.
Hmm.
Only 14% objected to same-sex marriage.
I'm guessing Afghanistan isn't on board with this.
No. There's some stragglers.
Russia,
Uganda,
not a fan.
Uganda, talking to you.
Mogadishu.
Right. Looking at you. Russia, hello.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're probably the biggest undeveloped or biggest developed nation that
right, they have just said
has
yet.
A problem with
just
it.
Said yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
As someone said, wouldn't it be ironic if Edward Snowden went to Russia and then was arrested for saying something nice about gay people?
Sure.
And then imprisoned in Russia. In a gulag.
Okay.
As you do. The pollster said what we see in every one of the 16 countries we surveyed, there is a majority in favor of allowing same-sex couples to have some sort of legal recognition. So that's surprising. Only 14% against in the international poll.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Scott in Oklahoma. Hi, Scott. Welcome.
Morning, Steph.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good.
I was just wondering, I mean, obviously during the Occupy movement, they ID'd and backgrounded a lot of these people in the park. What's to stop them from recording your show? And then,
well, we already do that. And it's a podcast, and it's only $4.95 a month, by the way.
But the government can record it, and they can also go with...
They can also buy the podcast.
No, they can buy the podcast is what they can do.
Legally.
For $1 million.
But they can go back and ID Scott in Oklahoma and say, okay, this is his phone number, this is who called at this time. They would actually know how long I waited on hold before I talked to you.
No, that would make you look sad. Do not tell
them. Yeah.
Yes, it's true.
It's true.
Yeah. No,
but they probably even have a psychological mathematic equation to say, you know, if you waited 15 minutes to express a point, you're getting borderline radical.
Oh, we've had people wait an hour and a half.
Oh, you are not even
vaguely
in the Hall
of
Fame. Whatever.
Please.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Rolanda Watts, who will talk about the Zimmerman trial and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I think you've had too much sugar cereal.
I think I haven't had enough!
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Chris,
what?
How do I get most of the best bookings for the show?
CNN.
Yeah, when I'm in hair and makeup at CNN. And whoever I happen to snag.
That's how we got Marcia
Who happens
Clark.
To have the misfortune of sitting next to me.
Yeah.
As did Rolanda Watts, host of Sundays with Rolanda on Blog Talk Radio. Hello, Rolanda.
Hello, my darling. And let me tell you, I'm going to let your listener know that you look great without makeup.
Oh, you precious little pumpkin.
But you're a gorgeous gal. You know that. I tell you that every time I see you, and it was great to see you at HLM.
Great to see you, too, honey. I know. I was telling you, it's like high school, because you said, which trial are you here to talk about? I'm like, no, I'm with the regular political geek CNN. I'm here to talk about, I don't know, sequestration or something. I'm not with the cool kids on HLN.
Well, you know what? I tell you, it is the season. All of these different trials, and there's so much to talk about out there. So, yeah, we're busy over there.
I have to think, and I'm not a fly on the wall inside, let's say Nancy Grace's office, but I'm just guessing after Jody Arias was done, it was like, oh, good, someone killed her husband with a stiletto. You know what I mean?
I'm just
saying.
Well, it's like, it's what's next? What's next? What's the next big case? And, you know, there are a lot of people who are likening this to the O.J. trial, you know, how everybody hung on the edge of their seats with with O.J. They're expecting the same thing with the Zimmerman trial. And we are watching. If you look at America watching, it's as if it's the reality show played out. It's as if it's the morality plays. It's all of the things that great stories are made of, and we are on the edge of our seats.
Well, yeah, we were talking about that yesterday, Rolanda, that George Zimmerman's father has released this e-book, and he's, you know, basically calling, you know, every black organization in the country racist. I mean, it's really incredible just about how his son's the victim here and all of that, right?
Well, you know something, the reality is, in my opinion, everybody's a victim here. Everybody's a victim. This is just a horrible situation, but it sure does open the big can of worms that this nation does and does not talk about, but must, and that is race relations. I mean, it brings up all other kinds of issues, too. It's how do we talk to our kids about what they wear? It's about profiling. It's about our justice system. So there's so many push-button, heated issues here that all of us get involved, you know?
Right. Roland, what now? You were in mid-false eyelash when I was out of the corner of my eye watching the latest developments, but weren't there, one of the jurors, I think they're going through jury selection, right, and they were, you know, she was saying what she did know is that he was told, do not follow him, right? They said, oh, well, how do you know that's true? And you said, well, because Trayvon Martin's dead now.
Well, that's, and I think that is the main thing, in my opinion, and everybody's got their opinion, you know, but in my opinion, I think the real case started after that dispatcher told Zimmerman, stay put.
Right.
He asked him, she asked him, are you following? She says, yes, I'm following him. Stay put. We don't need you to do that.
Right.
And anything that happened after that, in my opinion, was aggression.
That's right.
And
that's,
at the
yeah.
end of the day, that kid with the Skittles and the soft drink is off of this earth dead, shot one time, point blank. And the guy with the gun claims he was in self-defense. It's hard for me to see.
Right.
So that's why I really want to hear the facts of this case. I really want to hear it, because right now it's really hard for me to believe that Zimmerman did not hunt that child down in cold blood.
Well, yeah. I mean, I love the, you know, there's some dissension, obviously, over what's on the audio tape and who is calling for help. It's like, really? You expect us to believe he's going,
help? I've got a gun.
Help, I've got a gun, and he doesn't.
Exactly.
Really?
I mean, who really do you think is screaming for help? The guy with the gun or the guy with the Skittle?
Right.
You know,
right.
And the guy who's been pursuing a child, and imagine, put yourself in the shoes of a Trayvon Martin, who is being pursued in a car on foot by some guy in the rain. All you did was go to the convenience store and want to get home with your dad and his fiance.
Yeah.
And this guy is haunting you, coming, you know, he's hunting you down, literally, and
yeah.
says it on tape. And so for me, I really have to hear. The crucial thing, what you pointed out there too, is that 911 tape. And this is going to be the pièce de résistance in this case, because the conversation right now is how reliable is this piece of evidence, which is so crucial, because it's the screaming. Who is it that's screaming? All the experts, including those from the FBI, have determined that somebody is screaming for their life. But how exact is our science? It's not that the experts aren't expert. I mean, my gosh, they come from some of the top organizations in this voice analysis detection. But the voice is so high-pitched, it is so muffled, it is such a short clip, that there are those who say this is not reliable evidence. We will have to see.
Mm-hmm.
I say, let the jury hear it.
Right.
Let the jury hear it and put the evidence around everything else, and you tell me who's screaming for their life. The guy with the Skittles?
Right.
Or
right.
the guy with the gun?
Rolanda, you mentioned O.J. I mean, how do you think, and obviously race has already been brought up, you know, so much around this case, how do you think that's going to play out as this moves forward? Because, you know, I mean, I think, as you say, the facts are pretty clear. An unarmed black teenager, you know, is dead. And a guy that, you know, seemed to be a self-appointed watchman who obviously said things that were racially tinged, right? I mean, he said, oh, they always get away with, you know, I mean, I don't know what exactly is on tape or not. Were there actual racial slurs on tape?
Well, there were things that they always get away with this, and there was question about whether there was some kind of racial derogatory term used, or at least the intention. There were those who said it was the way he said, you know, he's black and that kind of thing, and he's, you know, so a lot of it is that many feel, and let's face this, Stephanie, the fact is, this is America's case. People in America said, oh no, we will not push this under a rug for another day. It was already closed case. Nobody even investigated for 44 days. Let's not forget that. After that child was shot.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we're even having a trial is a testament to this family, right, that stood up and the people that protested with them.
And I think people across America, not just black people, I mean, anybody with a child, and that's what we're finding, is that you see so many of the jurors are coming along, some of them grandmothers. 15% of this nation is interracial relationships, so this, one of those grandmamas had a little black child in her family.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people who are relating to this, not just black people. I say that, you know, anytime, you know, when if the weakest of us, the softest of us, our children are at danger, all of us are at danger. So this is something that America said, America and the family, yes, and the America that rallied behind her for justice, and him, the parents. This is really the case that America brought to fore. So there are lots of things that this pushes buttons on, and I think that in all of the horridness, the grossness of even having to have this conversation, this isn't what we want to talk about in our nation.
Yeah.
But it's going to help us heal and help us open a dialogue and a conversation that is only going to benefit us as the great nation that we are. We've got a lot to work on, and hiding behind it, not acting like it doesn't exist and we should forget about it, isn't going to make it better. We've got to have this open sore dialogue before more children are killed and before we, you know, we go into worse relationships with each other. So I think it's an interesting case on so many levels.
Right, and at the same time, at Supreme Court, we have obviously affirmative action case, we have a voting rights case. You know, and I think that, who is it, John Roberts asked in one of the arguments, you know, are you saying that the South is inherently more racist? And I'm thinking, yes. Yes, I am saying that.
And listen, I come from an era, not many people are, you know, we're getting past that era, but I'm in my 50s. Man, I remember drinking colored water, and a lot of people go, what is that? And I say, you know, there used to be a fountain. It wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can't heal that quickly. That's okay. But it's not okay if we don't talk about it and realize that the experiences is all we bring to the table. And there's some people who really see this Trayvon Martin situation as just another case of another black kid who's shoved under the rug, who is shot at point blank without a lot of questions, who the cops cover up. We, you know, that brings out more distrust for the system. And it's things like this that are going to make it so tough to find that sacred six, those six people that they're going to have to whittle down. They're getting a pool now of potential jurors. They've got like 32 more, you know, they've got about eight more to go before they get this pool of 40 that they feel are the best. I mean, imagine how tough that is. Somebody who hasn't heard about this case or doesn't have an opinion about it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So they're going to get those folks, and then we're going to see, then let the trial begin. But those potential jurors are going to have to be able to use great discernment to be able to have an opinion, because everybody does.
Yep.
But to be able to put that in the backyard and go out there and fight for justice, and we'll see what happens.
Rolanda, speaking of you and I being old, Chris can Chris can remember the day when I would return from CNN with some crumpled piece of paper spilled with Chardonnay, going, "Here's Rolanda's number." Oh no.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you called me, I had you in my cell phone, I texted it to Travis, you were booked before you got on set at CNN.
Well, listen, Travis was on it, man.
Yeah.
I was walking out the door and my phone was blowing up. I was like, all right. I really appreciate that, because this is one of my passion pieces. I just think it's just the journalism in me comes out and that journalist foot starts tapping, but I really appreciate being able to talk about it, because I do think it's fascinating.
Well, always been delightful, you remain delightful. What does Rolanda Watts talk about on Sundays with Rolanda on Blog Talk Radio?
Well,
one wonders.
It's really funny, because we talk about everything. It's just, it's really like, I kind of see my show Sundays with Rolanda like a magazine show. There, it's 2 hours every Sunday, and it's kind of like coming over to my house and hanging out in the kitchen.
Which I have done, and which is equally fun.
Exactly. So it's like, we talk about campfire cooking. We talk about Trayvon Martin. We talk about wisdom. My great auntie Maya Angelou talks about the importance of aunties. Lisa Gibbons talks about coming back, reinventing yourself at this stage in our life. You know, we're all girls of the same age, and look how many times we've reinvented ourselves, and that's the way the world is today.
Yep.
Kim Douglas comes on and gives us some Hollywood beauty secrets. I even interviewed the GPS girl.
Wow. You mean the girl that actually talks to you from your GPS, the one that's recalculating the route?
Yes. A girl from Australia who lived in New York, who is all over the world. And when I finished the interview, she goes, oh, Rolanda, one more thing. I said, yes. She goes, you have reached your destination.
You've reached your destination.
I said, all the people I've interviewed in 30 years in this business, and I'm thrilled over the GPS girl. We've got organic gardening. We've got Jane Velez Mitchell on talking about going vegan. I want you on, Stephanie.
Let's do it. I have no expertise in anything, but I will fake my way through it.
Now, let me tell the little secret.
Yes.
Last time you interviewed me,
yes,
we were sitting in pajamas on your television set. And do you know I still sleep in my Stephanie Miller pajamas?
I
sleep with you, Stephanie, with your name on my desk.
Hello. Did you get that, National Enquirer?
Okay. National Security Agency.
Well, I'll see you. Thanks for doing my show. I'll see you on yours, honey.
I love you so much. Thank
love
you,
you too,
so
honey.
Much. And thanks, Travis.
All right.
Bye. Yay, Travis.
Did you get that? I can eat all the press I can get. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, what a surprise. Road player Mary did not care for Rolanda's thoughts on the Trayvon Martin trial. Oh, we're out of time for right now because we have important breaking news. Mick Jagger's hair is up for sale.
Huh?
Not all of it. Just a bit of it.
Right.
A lock.
British auction house is going to place a few locks. The Rolling Stone frontman's mop up for sale July 3rd. An estimated sale price between $2,300 and $3,100.
Really?
Yes, it dates. It's 60s Mick hair.
Yeah, Chrissy Shrimpton cut it off.
Right.
His hair and
right.
Just kept it.
And
girlfriend. She was his girlfriend.
Oh, really. He had many, though.
Keith Richards' hair, just in case you're wondering, that fetched only $1,400. During a recent auction, so there's a bit of a competition.
I'm told a lock of my hair could fetch as much as $3,000. Bloody hell, haven't you people anything better to do? I mean, really? How much would you pay for one of Rin Tin Tin's turds? Or Foster Brooks' liver? It is interesting that Keith's hair only fetched $1,400 at a recent auction. Considering his lifelong narcotic intake, I should think his hair's street value would be in the millions. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Actually, no, don't. It might put you in a coma. Right, Keith?
You ain't saying jazz feed joyous rock a minute time ago. But the rich kids, missus, snitchy keep snitching, chopping hands and telephone numbers.
Right, Keith, nappy time. It's always nappy time for Keith.
It's always nappy time for Keith. That is one truism of the universe. Hey, our sexy liberal friend Aisha Tyler, did you hear this story? She was involved in an envelope mix-up during the Daytime Emmy Awards.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. This is why she's a pro. She's a comedy pro, sexy liberal tour pro. She went on stage to present her award. Someone gave her the wrong envelope. They're writing, Aisha's reaction when she opens the envelope is priceless because she quickly realizes the name printed wasn't even nominated in the Best Talking Host category.
What ensues
is pure live TV gold. With Aisha vamping like a pro while the producers scrambled to get her the correct envelope. That's right.
That's what she does.
Did she mention cookies and freedom?
Cookies and freedom, bitches. Boogity boogity cheese.
And you're licking the salt off a cracker.
Oh, my God. Speaking of our comedy friends, Jeff Garlin of Curb Your Enthusiasm was arrested on a felony vandalism charge after a dispute with another motorist over a parking space. Which is like a Curb Your Enthusiasm scene.
Yes, kind of. Exactly.
Right there.
Yeah, but it would be Larry that would be involved with that, not Jeff Garland's
character.
I was
involved in a real-life one. You remember that? When I got invited to some fancy party and I mistook Larry David's wife for someone else, and she was not happy about it, and then I was seated right next to them at dinner.
Oh.
Like, very
there goes that booking. Thanks, Steph.
Yeah.
That
ain't happening.
Oh, this is getting fun. The Rupert Murdoch and Wendy Dang divorce just got juicier. Tony Blair got dragged into it.
Yeah.
Tony Blair.
Day two of the Rupert Murdoch.
A lot of guys.
Turned juicier. The claim that Dang had an affair with Tony Blair.
What?
An affair with Tony Blair.
Who happens to be the godfather to their two young daughters. He denied the claim through a spokesman, but the way the denial was worded led to more speculation. The Hollywood Reporter asked and got an answer from his office. They said, if you are asking if they are having an affair, the answer is no.
There is no sexual relationship.
Is? Depends on what the meaning of is.
Yeah.
Is.
Huh.
And that's what the speculation Bloody
is. Bloody eyes.
By the way, USA Today says this is not amicable. It's totally public. It's a throw down the gauntlet. We are going to war kind of thing. Ooh, War of the Roses. Fight, fight, fight.
And Fox News is in the middle of it.
Ooh, I hope he doesn't hack her phone.
He might hack her.
Well...
Gene Wilder
says
Willy Wonka, the remake, was an insult. He thought Tim Burton's remake of the classic Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory was an insult. He said, Johnny Depp is a good actor, but I don't care for the director. I think he would like to say to the director,
you get nothing! Good day, sir!
Don't get me started on this story.
You get no more remakes. Good day, sir.
The movie was an insult to the book. The original movie was an insult to the book.
Really?
It absolutely was. It changed changed the moral of the story completely.
Could I
so the Oompa Loompas were tall in the book. No, they were short, but they were...
Insult to Oompa Loompas everywhere.
Yes.
Could I have some top 1% music, please? Did you see this? Former Bush and Romney advisor writes a paper defending the 1%.
No. Somebody has to.
At long last, the downtrodden, disrespected 1% have a hero to make their case. Harvard economist Gregory Mankiw... I don't know if I'm saying that right. Former economic advisor to George Bush, and isn't that a feather in your cap? And wannabe President Mitt Romney has a new paper called Defending the 1%, arguing that income equality is not a terrible thing as liberals make it out to be.
Uh-huh.
And
if
even
you're
if
the
it
1%.
Is, and he said even if it is, fixing inequality is really hard to do in a way that's not totally unfair to the wealthiest 1%. His basic argument is the 1% are richer than you probably because they are
because
better than
you. Because they deserve it.
They are
better
than you. It's just science. Even the children of the wealthy are probably wealthier and better educated than you, at least partly because their genes are just better than yours, he suggests.
Wow.
And
yeah,
not
high
because these
too.
People won the cosmic birth family lottery and let them be born into wealth and privilege. Y'all be a poor losers. Y'all should have picked better parents. The trouble with his imaginary world is it looks nothing like the real world, where the Steve Jobs and Rowlings and Spielbergs are not the only people getting fabulously wealthy in this world. Many people get fabulously wealthy who do nothing for our general welfare.
You do nothing!
Even
you get nothing!
Nothing!
Good day, sir!
That again. All right.
Wow.
Speaking of the top 1% party, Reince Priebus, Jim.
Reince Priebus!
Right. My favorite, Michael Tomosky of the Daily Beast, who I want to date and kiss. Mary says, occasionally I lose my bearings and permit myself an ounce of sympathy for Republican Chairman Reince Priebus. I mean, that's quite an asylum he's trying to run. Then I remember, usually in about 4 seconds, that no one is making him, and I resume the normal contempt posture. I went through this again. Did you see his speech?
Yeah.
The Faith and Freedom Flavin Coalition.
Over the weekend?
Yes. The speech made headlines for the chairman's promise to shorten the primary calendar and move the convention forward, but it was actually noteworthy because it was painfully clear that Priebus is scared to death of Ralph Reed's tevangicles, a fact that does not bode well for his much-publicized movement to build a less intolerant GOP.
I think we should have a less intolerant GOP. No, I don't.
I love how he describes Priebus took the stage to the kind of applause one might associate with a Broadway understudy filling in for the star. A vague curiosity, a few dollops of encouragement from the kinder souls, but mostly suspicion. Poor Reince.
Why doesn't anybody like me?
And yet they made him their leader again.
Oh. Hello, he whined.
Oh, droopy dog. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, T-Bone on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.